Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 16 of season 5. This one is called Ethics. It was directed by Chip Chalmers. Teleplay goes to Ronald D. Moore. Story credit goes to Sarah Cooper and Stuart Charno. Aired back on March 2nd, 1992. In this episode, Worf is hit by a barrel and shatters his back. He undergoes a risky procedure that might save his life or might kill him. Modi Operandis is here to talk about this one, so right after this break, me and Modi are going to talk about ethics.
What happened?
The containers you were checking fell on you. You're lucky to be alive.
Doctor, I will not attempt to leave sick bay without your approval. The restraining field is not necessary.
Worf, there is no restraining field.
But I can't move my legs.
I know. You can't move because one of the containers shattered 7 of your vertebrae and crushed your spinal cord. I'm afraid there's no way we can repair this kind of injury.
This is Star Trek. I don't think you can come up with a better Star Trek episode than Ethics. No, this is going to be an interesting episode because the episode that came out today as we're recording this is The Masterpiece Society, which I hate The Masterpiece Society. The people I did the podcast with like The Masterpiece Society, saying that it was a Star Trek episode that's talking about big ideas. My counter argument is that in The Masterpiece Society, the ideas they were talking about made no sense in terms of the narrative and in terms of what the show was actually trying to argue. Ethics, I think, well, I don't think this is like a barn burner of an episode. It does a much better job of talking about an issue. What do you think about how they handled ethics in this episode?
Yeah, I think it's a good sci-fi kind of thing of, I mean, that's the idea of sci-fi. You're talking about real world issues in a scientific, you know,
slightly altered
science fantasy as a lens to see the real world through. And I think this works in that regard. And that might be something that the Masterpiece Society is lacking.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a thing that could be set in modern day. This is a story that could happen on just, you know, some other show altogether,
yep.
I think. But they explore it in a way that's more interesting here, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's good that, you know, Worf is the perfect character for it because his personality, the suicide, makes sense for him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it doesn't make sense for other people, but his rationale for doing it is probably the strongest out of all of them.
You can have the euthanasia conversation in other shows, but here you get the added benefit of it being part of an alien culture and have a guy that is fully capable still.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And that, because of the world they've created, lets you explore the idea of euthanasia in a different way than you could in the modern tale.
Yes. Yes. I totally agree with that. It's, that said, this is not, we just got done talking about power play. This is not an action episode because Worf is just lying around for most of it.
It's a lack of action episode. Yeah.
It's a lot of talking. I think that it's generally pretty good. I was concerned when they started off that I thought that Crusher's argument against the other doctor was not as good when it initially starts. Her counter argument against doing this procedure doesn't make sense because at that point, the argument of not doing harm doesn't make as much sense. If Worf is going to kill himself, you know, you're just like, well, just
right.
do
there
the operation.
No such thing as do no harm, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I think the show could have structured that a little bit better. They have a great scene where the other survivors of whatever that disaster was come on board, and the doctor does not give one of them standard treatment and just does an experimental thing, and he dies. And it's like, oh,
That scene is totally now necessary. The bad guy. Yeah. Now she's the bad guy again. Or at least it's less good what her initial opinion was.
Yeah.
And so I think the show does a really, really good job of giving both sides a fair shake and a fair dish shake, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's treated as drama, not melodrama. It's like you see the argument for the other doctor, even if she is, they send her off the rails eventually too. Like they send her off the rails of, oh, I'm not going to give this standard treatment. He's going to die anyways. And that's not a big deal to me.
Right.
And that's the point where if that had happened, like you say, when it first comes out, she seems reasonable as far as the idea for Worf. But then later on, she reveals herself to be, the bad scientist type.
Yes. She's really the
means justify the ends justify the means kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So
they paint her as, it's kind of an interesting, the schism between a research doctor and a sort of like a practicing doctor.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is interesting. I actually work in research management. So it's interesting to, you can sort of see her argument about like, I don't want to fill out this paperwork. this is all nonsense. So I appreciate her argument, the other doctor whose name I can't remember, about, you know, the results here are going to be so good that how can we stand in the way of trying this? But I think they flesh it out nicely with Beverly's arguments. And again, it's a strong script just because they picked the exact right character to do this.
Well, yeah, I mean, this other doctor, I forget her name too, she's only saved by the fact that it's a Klingon that she's operating on.
Yep.
Like, that happenstance is the only reason this patient survived, honestly.
Yes.
So, and she takes the credit for, you know, being an amazing doctor, but it was all because of who she's operating on, not what she did.
That was a an interesting ending, because
I didn't like the ending, actually. I kind of wish they would have killed him, honestly, but they can't do that to the character.
No, they can't do that to the character, and they can't, you know that Worf is not, it's one of those weird episodes, you know that Worf's not going to be in a wheelchair, you know, like all that stuff, so it's, it doesn't ultimately matter, but I was a little bit disappointed in the ending. I was like, oh, they're going to do the stupid trope where the person dies and then just comes back magically, which is what they do, but they do manage to tie it into the Klingon redundancy thing. So I kind of feel they saved themselves.
Yeah.
At the end.
They did establish that at least early on, that it's not magic that saved him kind of thing. But I don't know. It was rough to leave him dead for several minutes and then bring him back to life. He's like, okay, he's going to have brain damage, by the way. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, he has redundant brain. Yeah.
I guess so. Maybe that's what it is.
That's true. It does feel a little bit hokey, I think, because it gives you the chance of all the characters feel sad and like all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then you bring him back and he just breathes and comes back to life. I thought there were a bunch of strong scenes in this one. I like the Riker and Worf scene.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That's really good. I think Riker's the right person to go to.
The Riker Picard scene?
The Riker Picard scene.
Conflict on the ship, which is awesome.
Is the best scene. Well, which one are you talking about? My opinion.
When he goes in and is yelling at him and saying, like, he's really mad, and he first finds out what Worf wants him to do.
Oh, sure.
And he's having, and Picard's, like, calm, and, you know, this is their culture kind of thing, and Riker's going off the handle about his friend kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a, I'll put a slight defining thing there. I think that scene where they're arguing about it is a great Star Trek scene. I think that the scene where they're talking about the day-to-day as Worf is undergoing his operation.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too. That's a really good scene, too.
That's a really good dramatic scene, I think, is what I would say the difference is there.
The subtext there is awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And but I like the fact that we've criticized past episodes where Picard's stance on a moral issue doesn't make a lot of sense. I think he's perfectly written in this one, where he doesn't understand. He wouldn't personally endorse what Worf is doing, but he allows it to sort of happen, which fits the Picard character, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think sometimes they might take it too far as him being, I don't know, like the mirror for society or something like that. I don't know exactly what how to describe what he does is, but. So him being taking the moral high ground all the time is a little bothersome.
All the time.
Because on both issues, it's more apparent here, because there's two different issues going on, and he has to deal with both of them. And it seems like somewhat he's on opposite sides of it sometimes. Like, because he's against the doctor and for Worf dying. And like,
yes, right.
it's like he's got the moral high ground on both sides of the hill kind of thing, is what it sounds like.
He also goes against people who get very upset very quickly in this one, which I don't mind. I don't think it's really a problem. It's more just an observation about it. It's kind of showing how the show has changed in a lot of ways, where early season episodes would not have had this schism argument going on. Picard's understanding of the situation would have been the understanding of the cast. Everyone would have been down that path. That said, this is a product of its time, and maybe this was ahead of the curve in terms of this stuff. I was a little bit surprised, and maybe this is just a modern day thing, of how many people were sort of totally against it. And Picard was the only one who was like, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. that's not a judgment on the act itself. It's more just everyone on the cast except for Picard seemed against it, which kind of surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
Except for Worf, I guess. Worf would be the other one. But his alienness is what drives that that action, I guess, going forward. This is also the return of Alexander.
Yes.
He's back. I didn't think he's bad here.
He's better than he was before. Still not great.
Yep.
Not used super well, I would say.
Yeah, and he's...
I don't know.
I think they're doing a good job of showing a developing relationship between the two of them. I'm pretty sure this is the first time we've seen Alexander since he came back on the ship.
I think that's right, yeah.
So he's, you know, he serves as the lightning rod that causes Worf to change his mind. Riker gets the chance to explain that the son is supposed to be the one who brings the knife to his father and then watches him kill himself. I don't understand why the Klingons don't have the son kill the father. That seems more Klingon-y.
Yeah, why don't you just make him stab him? That would be even more fitting then too. Like they say, you got to give him the knife and then walk away. That still sounds like just suicide. Like,
right. Yeah.
I feel like if you've done it in more traditional, it's like a warrior's death kind of thing. Of like, oh, you have to like enter combat with this guy that you're going to lose against.
Right.
And he's going to mercifully kill you.
Yeah.
and it has to be your son, by the way.
By the way.
So that would be that would be a better fitting thing, I think. But yeah, whatever. I do like Worf's move towards parenting. Like, he's getting better. And also the beginning of the kind of Deanna relationship starting here.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Yeah, that's
I like that too.
Excellent point. Yeah, I didn't even realize that. This is probably the first time that's happened.
Like, he's verbalized that I respect you as a person.
Right. And you will take care of my child if something goes wrong with me. Yeah.
And it's something more than just like attractive, like a romantic relationship. It goes deeper than that, you know what I mean? That's like later when you find out in the alternate timelines they're married and that kind of thing.
Yep.
It fits when you look at this scene here, I think.
Yeah, that's true. She's managed to bring out the human side in him more than anybody else, which is kind of an interesting thing. She does it by sort of making him talk about his feelings and all that stuff, but he's definitely found a decision there that makes a lot of sense, and it certainly does work. It maybe feels a little bit weird when they start like dating in the seventh season, but it's appropriate, I think, more than anything.
It plants the seed for something for later, and it's good. It works.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Let's see here. The surgery aspect here. I think the science is kind of interesting. It sort of makes sense to me. Like, this seems feasible. Mm-hmm. You just kind of replace whatever's going on. It's sort of it's 3D printing before 3D printing was realized to be a thing.
With organic material, too, which is interesting.
Yeah, with lasers and organic material. And apparently surgery in the 21st century is just a lot of hyposprays. You just give...
I was thinking that. Like, there's no blood involved in this in the future. Like, people have got rid of all blood involvement.
There's no blood. Just an open environment. Yeah. And everything that goes wrong, you just name off a chemical and shoot it into
him. Give
us
a chemical.
And he'll be better.
They give it to him like four or five times, actually. I think she asked for the same thing like four or five times.
Yes.
When he's like, oh, his activity is fluctuating again. Oh, give him that thing again.
He needs more. It's funny. There's not a lot to... I don't think a lot happens in this episode. So it's kind of hard to discuss at great lengths. It's really just about the ethical quandary and the characters' sort of interactions with it that drives everything.
There's like four sets in this entire like episode, I think. You had the bridge. You had the cargo bay.
Yeah,
maybe there's more than that, because there's Picard's room and Worf's room and the medical room. That might be it, actually. I'm thinking about it.
I think it's just the bridge, ready
it's a bottle
room,
episode,
cargo bay, and medical place. It is. Yeah. It is kind of a bottle episode. You just have people laying around. It's, I think it's, I think it's a solid episode. It's very Star Trek-y. Like, I don't know if this is one that you'd want to always rewatch or anything like that, but it's not upsetting to get to, if that makes any sense. The way the injury happened, I guess I do want to talk about the injury scene. The injury scene is good. I'm a little surprised that they don't secure those canisters a little bit better than that.
And one just kind of melts, like the one below it just kind of starts to melt.
Yep.
And I don't quite know what Worf and Geordi are doing there. They never explained that.
I think they were
looking, or if it got solved.
I think they were looking for the leak. Is that what's supposed to be happening? Because he's scanning around, I think, and the leak is what causes the barrel to like melt.
Yeah, okay. I could do that. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So I guess that's that. I'm a little surprised they don't have force fields up on these shelves that are holding up apparently like multi-ton barrels of chemicals that could fall on people, especially with the amount of shaking that the ship goes under on a day-to-day basis.
You'd kill hundreds of people if there is in the cargo bay working
also
every year.
I know, just getting crushed by falling things.
It'd be like the most terrible job on the ship is working in the cargo bay, because every single time the ship would shift or something would happen, you'd get crushed by barrels.
Get crushed by these plastic containers. Do you play poker?
Yes.
Is what Geordi's doing unethical in terms of poker? Where he's
definitely he's cheating.
He's definitely cheating. He says that he's not looking at the cards as they have them in their hand, but it's still cheating to know everybody's what they're playing after the hands.
It'd be interesting
over.
If they like in the future after this, like they no longer have a scene where Geordi and Worf are playing poker at the same time anymore. like he just doesn't want to play with them anymore. It's just because he told him this fact.
The cold open opens on the door opening, and Worf is just strangling Geordi on the on the poker table, and then like you read the hand. But yeah, Geordi, you cannot. Yeah. You cannot
Don't
look at
that.
Information, even if you're not involved in the hand in a poker game. That is unethical.
Definitely.
I think we might have talked about that, how bad their poker game is supposed to be, playing against an empath, an android, and a man who can see through the cards.
Yes. Not good. And then Geordi blames whoever brought the cards. Like, they should have brought ones that are, immune to infrared vision.
That's in Geordi's
like,
character.
No, you shouldn't be cheating, buddy.
That's Geordi's character.
Especially if you can control it. If it was like, I can't help myself. Like, I can't not see this because that's the way my vision works.
Yep.
But he's like, I only look after they muck them. I'm like, no, you can look at any point then. It doesn't work like that, buddy.
He knows everybody's habits here. That's
You'd
true.
Think he'd win more often if that was the case, though.
Well, he's playing against an empath, and maybe he's
That's
just
true.
He's just
maybe
evening
it's
the odds.
It's like steroids balancing the playing field or somehow. It's like everybody on steroids would have a problem in baseball anymore.
I think that's 100% true. Yeah, I was a little bit shocked by that. Although it seems to be in Geordi's character to not understand other people having bad reactions to these things. Worf handled it very well, I think, for the Klingon. He handled it particularly well. He needed to stay there to be crushed by the barrel. But yeah, that's ethics for you. So I think we've talked about this one. It's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to hear what you say for your final thoughts. So right after this, we're going to come back with our final thoughts and ratings for ethics.
Therapy that could restore much of his mobility.
But not all of it.
No, not all of it. There are some things I can't fix. Klingon or no, he is going to have to accept his condition.
Beverly, he can't make the journey you're asking of him. You want him to go from contemplating suicide to accepting his condition and living with a disability. But it's too far. And the road between covers a lifetime of values, beliefs. Can't do it, Beverly. But perhaps he can come part of the way. Maybe he can be persuaded to forego the ritual in order to take the chance of regaining the kind of life he needs.
Ethics. Final thoughts and ratings for this one. So, what are you going to give this guy out of skill 1 to 5?
I am going to give this one a 4, actually. Because it is a solid episode. It is a good episode. It doesn't... Like we talked about last episode, it's missing that third heat, I think. And this, it has the emotionality, but it doesn't have the action. Nothing too interesting is going on visually in this one. You can definitely listen to this one in headphones without watching the screen and get everything you need to out of it.
You really could. It's almost a podcast of an episode. That's a good point. I think I agree. Where I gave Power Play a strong 4, I'll give this one a weak 4. I think it's a little bit of a lesser episode than Power Play, but I think it's very good. It does what Masterpiece Society does not do correctly, which, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, that it actually has a statement that it has a moral ethical quandary that is actually worth considering, as opposed to Masterpiece Society, which did not have that, even though the show claimed that it did. I think that's the difference here. It's not as super exciting.
And it explores it nicely. I also will add here, too. It doesn't take a side, I feel like, from the beginning.
Right, yeah.
On the moral issues here, which is nice for a show to do.
Yeah, it gives it both sides of the thing. I waver. Sometimes I like it when the show takes a stand, and then other things, I think it's interesting when it straddles the middle, and it doesn't know what it thinks. I think they do a good job here of straddling the middle. Yeah, that's it. I'm going to give it a week 4. You'll give it a 4. Everyone will be happy. That's another strong episode in a row, but after Conundrum, too. So we're on quite a roll. Interesting. Season 5 picking up, finally.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much. No new comments, I don't think. Event Horizon left another comment. So there was a couple people saying the Violations episode has been interesting. The feedback on that one, very, very split about what people think about that episode, which is interesting to me. But yeah, some people think, well, it's maybe not polarizing. People either think it's a very average episode or a very bad episode. So it's between those two extremes. But guys, thank you for leaving all the comments. I appreciate it. No new reviews on iTunes, so I can't read that. But thank you for that. Leave those if you're around. If you're on YouTube, leave a like and a comment. It's greatly appreciated. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Modi, for coming on.
No problem.
And guys, check out Modi's channel. I'll leave a link in the description below. And I will be back. I forget the episode after this. Whatever it is. But anyway, I'll be back in a couple days with that. See ya.